SBC Media.
Welcome to the iGaming Daily Podcast, analysing the news from the betting and gaming industry all over the globe, supported by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market.
DraftKings is starting to rack up some serious legal fees in 2024. There is the Hermelin and Fanatics drama, a class action lawsuit in its home state of Massachusetts, and now a federal class action coming out of New York. The latter two are questioning the operator's marketing tactics and claiming that the way the sportsbook brings in new customers is deceptive and in violation of the law. DraftKings isn't the only operator dealing with court problems either. In the back half of the show, we're going to discuss the Canadian lawsuit involving PointsBet and a group of former NHL players. Stay tuned for all that and more on today's episode of iGaming Daily. iGaming Daily is presented by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market. 56% of the EGR Power 50 personalized player experiences with Optimove. And as always, I'm going to remind you all, special offer, Optimove is offering new clients a first free month when they sign up with Optimove using the sign-up URL www.optimove.com/SBC. All right, I am Jessica Wellman, editor of SBC Americas, joined by media manager Charlie Horner. And, you know, Charlie, I'm curious if you know, this is going to be a British person. Do you know this U.S. thing? Do you know what class action lawsuits are from the movies and stuff?
Yeah. So it's everyone's favorite segment on the podcast, I think, is
does Charlie know this American thing? We should offer lines on it.
And yeah, I knew that North America was far more litigious than us here in Europe and the UK. But yeah, talking about multiple lawsuits in one podcast, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's a legal bonanza. So for those who don't know, like, class action lawsuits can be very frivolous sometimes. You know, the goal is somebody brings the suit and there's the potential for there to be a lot of, you know, quote unquote victims or co-plaintiffs that can come on the case. And the goal is to amass a bunch of people to eventually sign up for the case. And then they all get a payout. There are two going on with DraftKings right now, one at the state level and one at the federal level. Let's start with this state level one, just because it came to pass or came about a little earlier, and the people involved, it's a little bit interesting. Charlie, do you know anything about this Massachusetts lawsuit? Have you looked into it at all?
Yes, I actually believe we spoke about it at the time.
Did we? It's a blur.
We might have done.
That we do.
Because I was looking into this and I thought, oh.
This
I remember
feels familiar.
This one. Yeah, and this was really interesting. So it'd be good to bring our listeners up to speed of what this one was.
Yeah, so this one was a group behind. So it's two plaintiffs. I hate to minimize; they don't matter. Just two people. Really, the group behind it is this Public Health Advocacy Institute, which is an anti-gambling group, and there's a former professor I think he's a current professor and lawyer out of Northeastern University, Richard Daynard, who took a similar path towards attacking big tobacco with class actions a few years ago, to a lot of success, is kind of trying to repeat the playbook here. So for this one, they are coming after the sign-up bonus, which at the time was it's advertised as a $1,000 bet match, which means that if you deposit $1,000, they will give you $1,000. If you deposit X amount of money, you can earn $1,000 in credit. Problem is, you would need to deposit $5,000 I do remember us talking about this because we were both like, who has $5,000 just sitting around to deposit on these things? Essentially, in order to maximize the bonus and play through and actually earn the full $1,000, you would basically have to bet $25,000, which is a little crazy. Since we've talked about this, the latest on this one, the DraftKings has filed for a venue change. In Massachusetts, there is a specific court for complex business lawsuits called Business Litigation Court. And DraftKings petitioned the court to move the case there, claiming that, you know, with the caseload in the jurisdiction that it was filed in, it would just be better served to go to this other place. With that petition, they said they would then file a motion to dismiss once it gets moved to this other court. Plaintiffs objected to this. They were like, this is just a pretty simple consumer fraud case. This isn't a complicated business issue. They lost. It is in the process of being moved. I am keeping track on it, but it's yet to show up in business litigation court where the motion to dismiss will inevitably follow. So that's the latest on that. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so, but there is a lot to unpack.
The venue change is interesting. You know, I think they just assume they can get a friendlier judge to their case to hear it in that space. But what's interesting is I think when we saw this federal lawsuit, which is the new one, come down, the assumption was, oh, this Daynard guy is doing it at both levels. And turns out PHAI, Public Health Advocacy Institute, confirmed to me that they have nothing to do with this lawsuit. This class action is completely different and uninvolved from them. It was filed in New York. The plaintiff is Samantha Gary, and I thought we would never have to talk about risk-free stuff again, Charlie, but it's back. The nature of this is looking at old DraftKings ads, which promoted things as risk-free. They also kind of, they point out the math of, like, if you have the risk-free bet is essentially that if you bet and you lose, you get a credit to then bet again. And the point that they make in this lawsuit is that if you bet and you win, you get your bet back plus 90 bucks if you bet, you know, minus 110. So, you know, you're making theoretically $190. If you do that with a free bet, you get $90. So it's not technically risk-free. You know, I think we talked the risk-free thing to death here. And yeah, she is just saying this is fraudulent and misleading.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Again, it's a bit of a culture difference here, because, like, is this a case of Americans being a little bit more litigious than we are here in Europe, and this isn't exactly the biggest deal in the world? Or do you think that actually the plaintiffs have a bit of a point and they can make a claim here?
This is where I preface, I'm not a lawyer. But listen, we've covered a lot of class actions over the years, and it's just, you know, a lot of them, I haven't seen a lot of them in gambling get a lot of legs and go very far, to be honest. You know, a lot of them, we saw with Fliff, for example, by checking terms of service, you're agreeing to take this to arbitration. And usually these get tossed because it's like, no, you agreed that this won't go through the courts. This will go to private arbitration. Because this is an advertising one versus a violation of the terms of service, I think that that's not really going to necessarily be an argument the same way it is with some of these other ones that we've seen. But yeah, this is where I have trouble telling you.
I mean, I would imagine that some compliance manager has done a very good job of hiding some terms and conditions in those promotions, and they'll find it magically somewhere.
I mean, I will say, you know, in Massachusetts in particular, there's a lot of consumer protection laws, mm-hmm. more so than other states, that I'm not surprised that that's the state where they brought it about. There are certain consumer protection laws about just like fine print and those sorts of things. Like if you haven't watched the Netflix documentary, Pepsi, Where's My Jet? You can learn a little bit about a case where this guy, you know, sued Pepsi relatively successfully for a lot of money because like they joked that you could win a free jet in a commercial. So it's entirely possible this could go somewhere. I will say, typically when I see class actions, the first thing I do is Google the plaintiff. and see if they are a chronic filer of class action lawsuits. And the plaintiff, Samantha Gary, doesn't seem to be one. So I'm sorry that I'm just going to admit what I don't know and keep us out of legal trouble, right?
Absolutely.
Worth pointing out, you know, Charlie, these aren't really the offers we're currently seeing on DraftKings anymore, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've spoken a lot about this, but the whole risk-free, free bets, those sort of promotions, those days are behind us. Everyone agreed last year. The AGA and all their members signed up to it saying we're not going to run those material anymore. And I even believe that some states have actually moved to mandate and make it illegal to run those kind of promotions. So, yeah, this is definitely a historic case, something that thankfully we won't have to talk too much about anymore because, yeah, we did a lot of it last year.
Yeah. And we kind of resolved the whole risk-free debate. I think the monetary value of the bet argument is certainly interesting because the mechanic is still around. They're offering what they call bonus bets. Although I guess with that phrasing, it's not like 100% bonus bet or something like that, that maybe they'll work their way around it. But we have seen, this isn't just DraftKings. I don't know why DraftKings is getting picked on more than other people, other than they're the big dog besides FanDuel. And you assume they have the most money to pay out a class action lawsuit. You don't bother doing this with the betters of the world, you know? They're not doing any sort of sign-up offers that other people aren't offering or weren't offering basically the same thing. All right. We will keep the updates on both of these cases on SBC Americas if you want to follow it there. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and cross the border up north for a Canadian lawsuit with a different operator.
SBC Leaders connects the gambling industry's top-tier operators and associations to share the best ideas, collaborate on solving the biggest issues, and push innovation throughout the betting and gaming industry. If you're an operator and want to join the discussion, visit sbcleaders.com for more information.
Welcome back to iGaming Daily. It's been a minute since we've talked about PointsBet, Charlie, but PointsBet in Canada is now the subject of a lawsuit of its own. What's going on there?
Yeah, so it's the NHL Alumni Association suing PointsBet for, I think, over $1 million because they had to cut short their deal together as a result of the advertising changes that we saw from the AGCO. This is a problem that I think many operators are probably going to find themselves in, and it was probably something that maybe we could have, in hindsight, could have foreseen, because those advertising changes have thrown up some interesting questions for the use of sports stars and celebrities in advertising.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not a lawyer. You know what else? I'm not a Canadian lawyer, so I'm not fully aware of like contract law kind of differences. So as you pointed out, the AGCO changed the limits on who can advertise, including a prohibition on former athletes or current athletes unless they are doing a responsible gambling kind of advertisement or PSA. So that makes a deal with the NHL Alumni Association problematic, because now, like, unless you just are making an inordinate amount of RG commercials, these people aren't really helpful to you. What's interesting to me is that we haven't seen this happen in the US, but we have seen some very high profile deals terminated because the laws changed or the rules changed. For example, you know, Maryland put forth a law about operators working with universities that led to the I believe they agreed to terminate the deal before the law was necessarily going into effect, but it became clear that it was going to be legally untenable. Same LSU, Michigan, all of these deals that were signed, there was an exorbitant amount of money involved. We don't know what the settlement was on the deal necessarily, but nobody ended up in court. So that's why I'm curious what the differences are across the two laws, because, you know, we've seen some of these things similarly happen in the US and there hasn't been this kind of contention.
Yeah, again, should preface this by saying not a Canadian, not a lawyer, not an expert. However, you know, you have to question sort of what's been going on behind the scenes. Were the two parties unable to reach a settlement? Because I think the deal still had over 2 years left to run. And that's a lot of value for the NHLAA for the royalties of using their athletes or former athletes. So they want a reasonable settlement, and PointsBet want to wash their hands of the deal because they can't use any of the stars that they wanted to.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder how much the fact that they can technically still use them, but it has to be for RGPG messaging, if that's where this is kind of creating some legal friction, where it's like, well, technically, it's not like legally this renders us unable to do anything. We actually could still do something. That's the other thing. Like, again, not a lawyer, not in these rooms. I would assume that lawyers who know what they're doing and writing these long, I mean, in general, contracts are written such that, you know, if there's like a force majeure, to use the legal term, a massive change, an act of God, something like that, that these are rendered null and void. That's usually language that is included in business deal kinds of contracts. And so it's surprising to me that that terminology might not have been in this one.
I just like the idea that Doug Ford's government sort of legislation move would be an act of God. I think that's great.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. It's not, you know, a lightning strike burning a building down or something, but it is a massive change in the landscape. And when you're writing long-term deals, you know, this is just, I believe, language that tends to be par for the course in these, which is why I am surprised and I guess just wondering if perhaps the legal situation in Canada is different in terms of forcing people to honor these sorts of contracts. Speaking of, we have not written about it, but I have tweeted about it a little to go back to the Hermelin DraftKings case for a little bit. Federal Trade Commission overturned in the U.S. Non-competes in contracts, which could have a huge impact on the Hermelin case, given that the crux of what they are arguing is that he violated his non-compete. Granted, there was taking trade secrets and stuff like that, but the vast majority of the, particularly the California case, is this non-compete that there's already a legal challenge to this decision by the FTC that is not related to gambling at all. But, you know.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask on that because I noticed your tweets, and obviously it's a huge news story. With that being the case and the non-competes being rendered null and void, is that historic? So, for instance, could Fanatics get that case thrown out because the non-compete would be rendered null and void?
I'm not entirely sure if they can throw out the entire thing, but yeah, if it's like you aren't allowed to enforce non-competes anymore, that's a huge crux of the case. That's part of why he moved to California under the cover of night, you know, we assume he moved to California under the cover of night, is that California is a state that traditionally doesn't uphold non-competes the same way that other states do. So it's much friendlier to the employee. You know, if you've ever, I've been under non-competes before, you have them, and then in some states, it's just more enforceable than others. In gaming, non-competes are a huge part of the U.S. business. If you get to a certain level with anybody, you're signing, as an affiliate, as an operator, you're signing some sort of document saying that you're going to have to wait X amount of time before you can go be part of a direct competitor. And maybe you hop to an operator and say, well, they're not directly competing with you. They're actually a customer, so you can't enforce it, versus like if I was an affiliate that hopped to another affiliate. It's a murky place. And the fact that they are going to potentially make this hard line in the sand on it would make a big impact on the U.S. industry. So I'm curious. I'm certainly going to follow the case and see what happens.
And it's even more interesting, this case, given that we did get that New Jersey data and Fanatics are making a big jump in New Jersey thanks to VIP data as well.
It is some sort of VIP customer. I don't know if it's Hermelin getting straight to work. It did kind of pick up in January. So mm-hmm. I know we all kind of joked that it's him. It's not 100% certain, but it is a certain, it's timely that, you know, suddenly they've got some VIP customers in New Jersey that have them in an extremely advantageous position. All right, Charlie, anything you think people should be on the lookout for across the sites this week?
Well, I believe we've had some more online casino bill deaths. Was it Maine this week?
Maine. And then Christian Lee wrote a great post-mortem on, you know, the head of the Maine Gaming Control Commission's opposition to this and some of the hiccups and bumps in the road. So you can check that out on SBC Americas for sure.
Just capping off a really unproductive legislative year for the sports.
It is a bummer of a year. We've still got a little bit of hope in Alabama and a little bit of hope for sports betting in Georgia and Mississippi, but we will be tracking all that as well as the next round of earning calls, the latest news. And we've got a ton of content leading up to SBC Summit North America coming up in a week and a half. So be sure to check out all that. Check out our live episodes of iGaming Daily from the floor. And of course, check out every other episode of iGaming Daily for all the latest and greatest online gambling news.
Thank you for listening to today's iGaming Daily podcast, supported by Optimove, the number one CRM marketing solution for the iGaming market. If you want to find out more about some of the subjects raised today, feel free to explore any of the sites in the SBC News Network or check out the latest edition of the SBC Leaders magazine. Happy reading.